scripture reading takes us back to the book of Luke, where we were last week, and Luke 15, verses 25 to 32, and that is on page 79 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, page 79. If we could turn together to Luke 15, verse 25. This is the second half of the parable of the prodigal son, and you might recall from last week, we heard about the younger son who went off to the distant land and squandered his father's inheritance, and he had a turning, he repented and came back, and his father called for an incredible celebration because he was so happy he was home. Now let's hear a little bit more about the elder son. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bronwyn. How many of you were here last week for the Thanksgiving feast following the service? How many of you really enjoyed the turkey? How many of you really enjoyed the ham? I didn't. I was so busy being a pastor, shaking hands, talking to people. By the time I got to the queue for the turkey, it was all but gone. I got a sliver. And that ham, nothing. That's okay. The Filipino Fellowship was going to have a Thanksgiving meal in the evening. And so I went. And guess how much ham I had? None! I was one very resentful pastor. "Oh Lord, I have labored in the fields these many days, and you threw a party, and more people than we expected came, and the end result is I didn't get to eat." So I shared it with one of my spiritual mentors who patted me on the belly and said, "Slim, I think that's okay." But it's not okay. How many of you are physical elder brothers or sisters? How many of you are the oldest in your family? Now this is very interesting. At the 9:30 service, the vast majority of us were elder brothers and sisters. Here, I'm speaking to some elders and brothers and sisters, but most of you are middle or younger brothers and sisters. Very interesting. Steve Deacon, it's interesting, at worship, we have an elder brother service and then a younger brother. I don't know. Physically, that may be true, and psychologists are fascinated by birth order. It's becoming a really big deal. But spiritually, how many of us are elder brothers? We love the parable of the prodigal son. We love the fact that he had messed up. He had found himself, and he repented and came back not knowing what to find. Robert Frost, the great poet, says, "The nice thing about home is when you have to go there, they have to let you in." And this younger brother went with fear and trepidation, but the loving father met him on the way. There was a wonderful reunion and restoration. But meanwhile, out in the fields was the elder brother. The elder brother had missed the party. He was working after hours. Can you imagine that? I know for those of you in Hong Kong, it's hard to imagine people would work that long. But the party was going on, and he was hard at work when he heard music. So he asked one of the servants, "What's going on?" And the servant said, "Your brother who was lost has been found, and your dad is so excited he killed the most magnificent calf, and there's a feast." And what would have been the proper response at that point? What should the elder brother have said? "Oh, wonderful. My brother is back. I want to join in." But no, his response was one of anger. He was enraged. He was seething with resentment. And he decided to fast through the feast. He just stayed away. But remember, even as the loving father came out to meet the prodigal son, the younger son, the loving father comes out to meet the elder son. And he says, "Come to the party." And the elder son says, "No way." Very much like I felt last week. This guy said, "Hey, I have done all the right things. I've done my duty. And what good has it got me?" Elizabeth Elliot was married to Jim Elliot, the missionary who died as a missionary martyr. She remarried a professor of a theological college who had a tragic death in through cancer. And Elizabeth Elliot is one who suffered a lot serving Jesus Christ. And she says she has her own sayings of Jesus that you will not find in any of the gospel accounts. It's an apocryphal story, but it's a story that she tells very often. And it's a story about Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Will you all pick up a rock for me?" So all the disciples picked up a rock, but Peter said, "I don't know, rocks are heavy." So he picked up a pebble. And they carried the rocks as they were going on their business. And Jesus said, "It's time for lunch. Everyone take out your rocks." And everyone took out their rocks. And Jesus miraculously changed the rocks into bread. And Peter said, "Oh." So what did Peter do? He picked up the giant boulder and he hoisted it on his shoulder. And all day he's walking with this boulder, and it's time for dinner. And Peter's going, "Oh, this is going to be good." And Jesus said, "Would you take your rocks and throw them in the pond?" Well, Peter is enraged. And Jesus said to Peter, "Were you carrying those rocks for me, or were you carrying those rocks for you?" And those of us who have got the elder brother, sister spiritual complex, we have to admit that why are we following all the rules? Is it out of worship and adoration for God, or because we feel if we do the right thing, we've got some entitlements? Well, this younger brother experienced God's mercy and grace. The older brother just was seething with anger and resentment. There are different ways we can look at the whole subject of hope. As we prepare for Advent, we are hopefully hopeful people. Is this a very hopeful time to be alive? I'm talking with one of the real financial people in Hong Kong who I respect, and I said, "What is your feeling on the financial situation?" And he said, "I am more concerned about the political situation around the world." I went, "Oh, great. I'm worried about finances. Now it's even," he said, "it's a very unstable time to be living." How can we have hope in times that look rather hopeless? Well, the elder brother said, "I'm not even going to worry about that. I'm just going to party. I'm going to take the immoral route, and I'm going to do what's best for myself." And that ended in disaster. But the elder brother said, "I'm going to take the moral route. I'm going to do everything right." But he ended up in disaster as well. As someone has wisely said, you have to make a choice in the way you live your life. I obey, therefore I am accepted. That's one choice. Elder brothers, elder sisters, we know this choice, right? If I obey, I will be accepted. But there's another choice that we celebrate around Christmas because Jesus came with a new message. And Jesus is telling this parable because he wants people to understand that God loves lost people. That God loves the lost. And through Jesus, we can find acceptance. And the second way to live your life is to say, I am accepted, therefore I can obey. Do you understand the distinction? Boy, if I obey, I'll be accepted. Versus, I'm accepted, so therefore I can obey. Frederick Buechner writes, we are above all things loved. We are above all things loved. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. But if we're busy trying to be the elder brother, if we're trying to, I'm going to live the sort of moral, blameless life that will make me accepted by God, we are going to crash and burn just like the younger brother did. All have sinned. All fall short. All are lost. The younger brother was lost, but the older brother was lost as well. And they both needed grace and mercy. And the loving father comes out and says, come to the party. And the older brother says, no. Speaking about hope, I wish the parable didn't end here. What do you think ultimately happened to the elder brother? Did he come to his senses? Did he repent? Did he eventually come into a relationship with his father and his brother? Or did he stay outside of their love for the rest of his life? Let's take a vote. How many think he finally came to his senses? Oh, this is a hopeless group of people. How many people think he wallowed in his sorrow for the rest of his days? We don't know, do we? But we don't know how that story ends, and it makes us think about our story. How are we going to end? Are we going to say, I'm going to pursue immorality, or I'm going to pursue morality, or are we going to say, hey, I've been accepted by Jesus, and I am going to pursue him? And how does that affect the way we live our lives? Well, it is Commitment Sunday, and we're about to ask you to fill out those cards and turn them in, so I hope you've all done that. It's your duty. Please obey. No. See, the church immediately goes into this elder brother mode. But we do ask you to very seriously consider not just how you give to Union, but how you give to the Lord what he has so abundantly blessed you with. And I'll tell you two things we can learn about giving from the elder brother. First of all, there's less money than we'd like there to be, right? The elder brother was really upset because the younger brother had squandered half the family fortune. So there's a lot less to give. And the second thing is, and it was interesting, I was talking to another minister in Hong Kong, and I said, how do you guys do stewardship drives? And he kind of shook his head, and he said, I know what each person in the church gives. And I said, well, I'm glad I don't. But I said, that's fine. He said, and you know what? He said, 20% of the people give 80% of the money. Now, that's the old 20-80% rule. And then he said, if only I could convince everybody to do their duty. But you know what? He's not going to be able to. There are some people who are going to have to give sacrificially because others of us are kind of wandering off in some sort of far country. But I encourage you, as you live and as you give, to think, I do have a choice. I can try to earn my way to God's acceptance, or I can accept Jesus and accept the acceptance and mercy and grace that comes from God. And once I have found that freedom, I am free to give and to live in a way that will change my world. What an opportunity we have. I would ask the musicians to please come forward. I would ask you to take your cards, and those of you who filled them out, to pass them to the center aisle. Ushers are going to come back and pick up your cards. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he is our elder brother in the best sense of the world. Father, we thank you that at incredible cost, at unbelievable cost, he was able to bring reconciliation between you and those of us who have fallen in our sin. And Father, through the power of your Spirit, give us the courage and the strength to reach out sacrificially to those around us and proclaim the good news, the hope of a relationship with Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.